Hello, welcome, welcome to Point to Point. I am your host, as usual, Phil, and this is the show where I drive from point to point and try to get some stuff out of my head, you know, work through some concepts and, you know, get to a particular point. Today's point, I'm kind of still working through this one in real time, and I mean, just a heads up, there will be, I'm like working through a scripting idea for a video that I'm working on, and the idea still isn't completely there, but I kind of wanted to talk a little bit. Man, this is some real like mabim bam level of using the internet for content, but I wanted to talk about a Reddit thread that I was reading the other day. And it was specifically about Avowed. It's Avowed is, you know, that Obsidian first-person Elder Scrolls-alike set in the Pillars of Eternity universe. And the Reddit thread was basically a discussion about how in that game you play as a kind of fish-out-of-water envoy character sent by a big empire to this distant land where a bunch of different people have started or have already like created a home for themselves, and you know the intrigue there within. The Reddit thread is extensive, and it's hard to kind of read it without kind of wondering the intent of the person writing it. But basically the question that the person posed in there is if the game wants to, like, if the game, why the writing of the game is written in a way that makes you feel like a bad person for siding with the empire that you are a citizen of and a high-ranking official of. And the focus of that comes down to the idea that, you know, you land on the Living Lands, which is this island that's kind of going through this disease. They call it a soul disease called the Dream Scourge, which is something that is like basically infects random citizens and then turns them into zombies. And your job as the envoy of Adir is to go to the Living Lands. You're supposed to find out what's going on with this, and there's a bunch of political stuff going on. So the first one is, there is an Adir ambassador there, Hilgard, and his job is basically, hey, Adir has now decided that we are coming to the Living Lands, which is, you know, this big island that's ripe for colonial potential. And as the big empire who perhaps had a failed colonial expansion in one of the previous Pillars of Eternity games, they're looking for a new place to get resources. So Hilgard is the diplomat, he's the ambassador, he's there, he's trying to work with the existing people to, you know, exert the the Adirin Empire's authority by kind of ousting different people or different beliefs from the main city, Paradis, but also trying to balance that against the much more, we'll say, zealotous Steel Garrote, which is a Adirin, it's an Adirin religious army that is led by the voice of Wotaka, which is the god of Adir, who is also perhaps manifest in their leader, and her whole deal is retribution. As you play the game, you find out that the Steel Garrote, which is this like militaristic, like they do some real bad shit in this game. Like they are the true antagonist, I think. I guess depending on how you play the game, but they are the true antagonist for the most part. They do some bad shit in the game. So Hilgard is the diplomat who's trying to make nice, or at least, like, exert the authority in a political way. The Steel Garrote is just doing their own shit. They're, you know, burning down cities, killing rebels, etc. And you are a third arm of this political group who's coming, and your job is to find a solution to kind of all of these problems and, I guess, solve the Dream Scourge specifically. And you kind of have the authority of the Emperor in some ways. As you play the game, you'll run into the Animancers of Fior is Vernus. Animancers are people who are able to use the energy of the soul to make things happen. It's a type of magic. And you get a companion who is an Animancer. You run into the guy who's voiced by Garrus, who is a member of Rakatoa? Rakatan? Ooh, can't remember. A kind of like pirate-based fish lizard people. And they have been on the Living Lands in an area called Thirdborn for a while as like an old pirate outpost that's kind of turned into a thriving community. And then you have your companion Marius, who is a dwarf from Solace Keep, which is also kind of like an ancient order of dwarves that are supposed to be protecting something. And each one of these companions has their own kind of focused beliefs on, you know, how... They never exert their authority or opinions on you. You'll simply do an action in the game, like whether you decide to... You know, one of the big choices is, do you side with the Steel Garrote, or do you, you know, side with the people of the Living Lands? And depending on which way you make those choices, the characters will respond and kind of like, hey, like, it's pretty fucked up that you went with the Zealous Order, but I guess, you know, that makes sense because of who you are. Or, hey, it seems like you're a real progressive Adirin, and maybe you're more one of us than one of them. And that's kind of how the game goes. And this is all a great preamble to just discuss this Reddit thread that I kind of will dig into in a much better scripted kind of way, where the poster was disappointed, a little frustrated, it seems, in that the game is written in a way that it feels like there is more writing and there is more, like, there is more narrative stuff in the part where you are the Adirin envoy and then you slowly change to be more okay and, like, empathize with the people of these lands to, you know, hopefully either remove the Adirin, I guess, like, gauntlet at the throat of everyone, or to kind of push away the Steel Garrote, or, you know, what have you. Like, basically empathizing more with the people of the land than the colonizing power. And that the, if you were to play as, like, roleplay as a character who is the colonizing power, who's like, well, I'm here to do a job and I'm going to do the job, goddammit. Then kind of the focus, like, the writing isn't as... Like, it doesn't say, like, ah, you're doing a good job being a good servant of the Empire. And all of this is just to get to the point that I think... I have a lot of thoughts about this poster, because they luckily are, like, seem to be a person who is, like, actually interested in engaging with the ideas put forward in the game. But I think it all just leads back to a larger discussion on media literacy, and there's a lot of different ways that we can talk about media literacy. There's a lot of different ways we can talk about reviewing or having, like, you know, deep reads on a piece of work. The first, I think, is the obvious one that comes up in a lot of critical circles like this, which is the idea of death of the author, which is generally that the, you know, a piece of work is put out into the world, and what we should do is critique and digest and analyze the work of art completely espoused from the person who made it. Like, the intention, the moment that the piece of work is out into the public forum, or is, like, a piece of work that is created and finished, the intent of the author, the background of the author, is more or less unnecessary as, like, a way to kind of critique it. What the intention of a piece of work is, like, vis-a-vis colonialism in this context, is unnecessary. Like, we don't care. It is a work about colonialism. Let's talk about that from that perspective. I think that's one way to do it. Another way that we can kind of talk about this is that... not another. And in addition to that, Avowed is a piece of work that exists in a context. And in order to have a discussion about Avowed, we have to have a discussion about the context in which Avowed was created. And part of that context includes, like, the global context that we live in, the historic context of the past of colonialization that has happened in human history. And then you have the kind of third bit of that, which is, hey, Avowed is a video game made by a developer that is owned by the, you know, one of the largest, if not the largest, video game publishers in the world. And, like, that is a company that has also given money to the Donald Trump inauguration campaign. It's all of this. Like, all of this stuff is context that is important when we discuss Avowed. Which then, you know, you take all of those very, very broad waves at context, and then we kind of focus that into what Avowed is. Like, the idea of approaching Avowed separate of its context is, I think, foolhardy at best, and kind of naive and dangerous at worst. And the important part here, as I kind of pull into the train station several minutes... away from where I actually wanted to be, is that the thing about Avowed and the writing in it and why this particular poster feels this way is that Avowed does have an opinion about colonialism. It is, as much as it is an open world role playing game, it is also attempting to tell a story. It's trying to tell a story about this person who has a connection with a god that was already imprisoned by colonialism and imperialism, and it is also trying to tell a story to you, the player, and this is the part where I think it breaks down for this particular poster, because the story that this open world role-playing game is trying to tell is not the one that this person wants to experience. The reason that the writing feels less fleshed out and less good, I guess, to this person, if you were to be a toe-the-line, follow-the-orders colonialist, is because that is ultimately what happens. When you are a mundane gear in the machine that is you know, doing a colonialism on people who are living their own lives and would prefer that you get the fuck out, that is, like, as a bureaucratic functionary of that apparatus, like, you are simply a boring piece of the machine. You are not, like, the savior of this story. You're just another piece of shit trampling on my rights and my land. And that's how you're supposed to feel. Like, you play that game, and if you play the I'm just following orders and I would like to help solve this disease in the name of the Empire, yeah, people are going to be pretty grumpy with you. People will also continue to follow you because, you know, people are people. You are solving the disease that is going to destroy this land, so you might as well side with the Empire in this particular way because someone's making progress, and then, you know, fuck them over later. But I think that the entire notion of my game should cater to my worldview, or my game should cater to, you know, the outcome that I expect, or an open world video game that is role playing should, you know, cater to what I want it to be, is, I think it's just a flawed point of view, and it's not taking in the grander context of what the game is trying to say. The game is trying to say, just as, you know, I was saying before about Dragon Age Veilguard, the game is trying to say that a band of misfits from diverse backgrounds can band together and effect change on the world at large. Like, that is the message of the game. And the message of that game can be taken as, you know, with the myriad choice that you can make at the end of that game. You know, there's a lot going on in there, from the god in your head to the fates of these cities to, you know, the good or bad decisions you make, you know, in regards to the political climate at the end of that game. But ultimately, that game is about making choices that are impactful for the betterment of society from a diverse point of view, surrounded by advisors who have lived through different things. And you are building up a council of people who will help you make that decision. And if the decision that you choose to make is counter to what the people you are surrounded with are saying, what the great intentions of these people are, then yeah, it's going to make you feel bad. And the game is also not going to feel, you know, as well written and rich, because you're ignoring the great diversity around you and instead going for this monotony of purple empire must reign. And that's, you know, that's the message of the game. Like, I understand you wanting your role-playing game to accept all perspectives, but ultimately in the world that we live in now, that's no. Like, we're kind of done doing the whole thing where both sides have great ideas. You know, you can, that's not how humanity works, and that's not really how the current political climate, especially the climate this game was written in, has been. So I don't know. It's a tough thing. Like I said, I'll have a more structured video out in a couple weeks about this and how it kind of relates to how we should be, how we can be looking at pieces of work that we enjoy or kind of have different critiques of, and how we can position those critiques in a way that is, you know, accepting of what the work is and kind of building within the context of the work, and then having a better discussion about something than I don't like it, or it did not do the thing I wanted it to do, and therefore it is bad. Because I think that, you know, in the bad way that our society is, that's kind of where we're at right now. And I think that's shitty. I think that there is, I want to hope that there is a way to reach a person like this poster who is incredibly engaged with all of the different people bringing different pieces of thought and critique to their argument, as well as about Avowed as a game. I would like to hope that there is a way that we can reach someone like this and say, hey, like, let's get a little bit of criticism knowledge in here. Like, let's understand and unpack what you're saying and kind of reflect that back on you in a way that is informative of the work, and hopefully as you go forward is something that you can now use as a means to kind of discuss stuff that you like, don't like, and position it in a way that is useful and critical without, you know, turning into what I think a lot of this discussion does, is, you know, girl main character in game is bad because I'm a man who likes shotguns, you know? Like, I think we can do better than that. And there are certainly people that will not ever be able to do better than that. But the thing that has really got under my skin about this particular poster is that there is a part of me that thinks that, like, no, I'm not going to be able to change this person's mind. But I think that there are a lot more people like this person out there than there are the Make FPS Great Again hat guy that we can kind of at least have a discussion with, and over time hopefully erode some of those barriers and have a real discussion. But yeah, that's a very roundabout way to get to my point of, hey, let's not give up hope, I guess, in this world that is continually feeling like it doesn't have any. But yeah, hey, happy Monday. Thanks for listening. I gotta hop on this train, but this has been Point to Point. I've been Phil. Thanks for listening. We'll catch it tomorrow, I guess, with another episode. Perhaps one, maybe I'll get around to something about SGF. I finally watched all those trailers, so we can maybe talk about some of that. But until tomorrow, I'll talk to you then. Adios.